from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I.
Welcome to hang on, where are we this week? I'll come to that in a minute. It's very confusing. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, covered in snow already. It was minus 10 last night, and it's only October. Crumbs. Anyway, I'm in the beautiful town of Poprad, because it is a beautiful town, and that's why we normally call the programme Postcard from... I'm confused, you see. Postcard from Pop Brad. That's it. Because this week, we'll tell you what it's going to be in a minute. So, first of all, we've got over there in the whinging, whining world. See, whinging, whining world. No, never mind. Whinging, whining world of Great Britain. Or I should say www.co.uk. It is Lee Banks.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and any wallabies who are listening. I've tied my kangaroo down, sport, and got me a tinny by a billabong, and I'm ready to waltz my Tilda.
You sound like a cross between a halfway house of Cockney.
I was going to say, it sounds like Fagin's Den.
Yeah, it does, rather. It's a sort of crossover between Cockney and Brisbane, I think.
So you're saying that my Australian accent's not very good, then?
Correct.
It's really
Have you listened
really
to Rachel's? Have you ever listened to Rachel?
Well, actually, Mr. Banks, before we introduce Rachel and what we're doing this week, yes. I think you should be chastised.
I'll call Andrea.
You know? Do you know why you should be chastised?
Because I'm a hunker burning love.
No.
Oh.
Because on your television set.
My television set. You've not been watching my telly, have you?
No. On your television set in Great Britain.
Yes.
There's the upgraded series of Wentworth Prison on.
Mm. Are you in that, Rachel?
No, I'm in the original prisoner cell block H.
You spent most of your life in prison, haven't you?
Since then, yes, in the verified prisons, yes.
So you should
just for misdemeanors. So no convictions recorded.
Hold on a minute, just because it's
start with the Mrs. Meaners.
And you should have been a proper journalist, done your research, and sat there and listened to the Aussie accent, Mr. Banks.
I have. That's the perfect Aussie accent. There isn't anybody in Aussie who doesn't come.
Oh, for goodness sake, let's fade him down for... Oh, he'll go on for hours.
That's actually untrue. we come from everywhere. It's a melting pot.
Right, and leading the postcard this week, it is none other than Rachel Brunsdon.
Hello, everybody. And I'm going to speak real Aussie this week, so you don't understand a word I'm saying.
Yeah, well, as I said at the beginning, I'm going to give you some Slovak lessons now, boys and girls. It's a simple word meaning what. And the word for what in Slovak is čo. Čo.
Čo.
Čo.
Čo. So you're going to hear čo a lot, and you'll probably hear Lee repeating uek a lot. But I can't do it in a Mancunian accent. Hi to the guys over in Talk Radio X, the replay, Breeze, and everywhere else, and all you lovely folks on Windows 8. And I might share some news about that.
Oh,
because you've been downloading the app in your droves, droves.
That's so, Australian cattle, isn't it?
No, it's
not. Flock.
No. Anyway, before we get on to the special week, and this week it is because we decided in Postcard from Bob Brad that it was about time there was a proper, not the one that they have down there, not an Aussie day, but a proper Aussie week. So this week it's Aussie week on Postcard from Bob Brad. But we're going to go down to Aussie slowly from Europe, you see. So we're up in Europe at the minute. We're on our little boat and we're going down through.
Don't go on a boat. For the love of God, don't come on a boat.
Oh, okay. We'll get on our plane. And we'll fly off first to the ridiculous situation of elected people who shut a country down. It's called America's Closed.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's bizarre that this should happen. Yeah, I can't believe it. There was a good pundit point made about this.
And
I'm desperately trying to find it while we're talking. And I can't. But basically, how can you shut down a country which is on its knees anyway, and you do that as a political representative of the people in that country? I think it's absolutely incredible.
Well, it really is disgusting.
I do. And the worst thing about it all, Lee, is if you'd seen the new figures for America, it was just coming out of the recession, starting to get more jobs, da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. And then one group has decided, oh, that looks like somebody's got some good PR out of this. Let's mess it all up. And you're quite right. These are elected representatives of the people taking the wages away from the people, which I think they should be disbarred or something.
I think
their constituents should be, you know, stomping their feet and saying, excuse me, we're your constituents and you represent us. I really don't think you should be doing that.
Correct.
People want to visit Yosemite Park and know that they're safe. People want to be able to access, gee, I don't know, what about the Veterans Monument?
Yeah,
the problem is, though, quite seriously, this is something I've always said. In fact, I don't think I've ever said it on here before, but I've always said it, that the problem with countries with a democracy like America and the UK is that the only thing that democracy means in these cases is that you get to change your dictator every 5 years or so. the problem with America is the people can't do anything against it, Rachel. They can vote these people out in a few years, but there's nothing they can do now. And the thing that it was a comedian who said this, and I think it's really clever, and I don't mean this as a joke, because I don't think it's a joke, but he says very simply, America was not shut down properly. Would you like to start America in safe mode, with free healthcare and without guns?
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
straight. Then go to Canada.
And to see those war veterans who virtually didn't get into the war memorial because of a bunch of guys sitting on top of Capitol Hill is just beyond belief. I mean, how can you guys, listen to me, how can you guys sleep at night when the people that you're always praising go to a war memorial and you tell them they can't go in? I mean, that is lunacy beyond belief.
And they are the people who defended the Constitution that you are so tightly gripping onto in this entire argument.
Yeah, exactly. So that seems a bit sort
It's just a mutiny. What happens to mutiny?
Double standards.
Yeah. What happens to mutineers, though? Should know about that in Australia.
Yardarm.
It's exactly. Hang them from the metaphorical yardarm. And you know, this is actually one of the most dangerous things that's happened to the world economy, if you think about it.
Well, you know, the other thing too is that with skeleton staff on, and with this is I'm not saying that people should now invite this, but I'm sure I'm not the only one to think it. In terms of terrorist attacks,
there is that to it as well, and of course, there's also our friends at the Voice of America in Washington, because they're paid by the government, but they're still on the air. Just because you decide in your ivory towers, chaps, that things can't happen, other people are just going in and doing it. I think they're the true Americans, not the people up on the hill.
Well, that's it. That's right. The BBC said that the US at this moment, as we're speaking now, is actually on the point of running out of money, which means it would default on all its debts,
and would
destroy it.
Well, no, it's not that, Lee. Don't forget, when America gets a sniffle in its nose, the rest of the world gets a flu virus.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what I was saying. And, yeah, it just is.
And China is back there rubbing their hands together and going, hello.
They'll get more fun. Well, actually, most of the funding into America is Chinese anyway.
Exactly right. They owe them a ton of money, and then they're going to owe them a lot more, I suspect.
Exactly. Before we move on to the sad demise of Tom Clancy, just a little reminder for all you rock fans out there. This week, 30-odd years ago, was the funeral of Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guitarist.
He was a great guy. Yeah.
And I don't mean the sort of Purple Haze stuff either. I mean, the stuff that was on his albums, not the commercial stuff. Anyway, no, Tom Clancy, who had some very interesting military novels, shall we say, because they were quite sparky in places. I was trying to think of a word that didn't. That was suitable for daytime broadcasting. That was the only one I could think of. And sadly died at the age of 66.
That's really bad, isn't it? Honestly. Really sad, really bad. He was a brilliant writer. I loved him.
He was what
perhaps is the last in a long line of true blue masculine writers. Like Ernest Hemingway, come out of the Ernest Hemingway school of writing. And those people now are dying out. Norman Mailer died. All the people in that ilk have really shuffled off this mortal coil. And now Tom Clancy has. Sad, really sad.
Well, actually, you're going to faint now, all of you, both of you.
Why? Because you know somebody who wrote a book?
No. No, actually, I've got a lovely book just coming. We're going to do a book review. It's so funny. coming up, really, yes. And it's written by a dustman.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Yes, it is. It's a dustman's book.
Things that's, they see.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what a book to lift the lid on.
Yeah, right. Okay. But the you know, you guys talk about all your airy-fairy stuff every week with your lovies.
No, we don't. We actually don't.
You do.
We do. It's just perception.
But I have to say, one of my favourite films of all time is The Hunt for Red October.
And Sean Connery was brilliant in it. It was a great film.
Yeah, it was.
I get a bit annoyed. I worry about film adaptations because I quite more often than not, they do miss the book by a mile. But this one was pretty good.
I wouldn't know. I've never read the book, but the film was brilliant.
Oh, well, then, you know, that's your major, you know, that's your major defect in that, you know, you don't read anything longer than a leaflet. But, you know, I'm not going to go on about it.
I'm going to make you both happy now without going into all the technicalities of it. I am currently swapping laptops because my old one's dying.
Here we go, Rachel.
No. I'm not going to go into techie mode. All I will say is the pre-installed apps on Windows 8 taking you to book places have all been deleted. Uninstalled.
I could by yourself.
Yes.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant Windows had done that.
No. They put the blasted things on in my face, so I went click, uninstall. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
But how would you reading less books make me happy? I don't understand.
It wouldn't. It was just a joke.
Well, it's
it was a joke.
Exactly, he proves him to be the philistine that he is. Going back to what you said,
actually, I have read a book. I've read a book this week.
Which one?
The instruction guide to my new helicopter.
Oh my god!
He hasn't got a helicopter, ladies and gentlemen. He's making it up.
Do you want me to post a picture of my helicopter on Facebook?
Certainly,
it's
a thumbnail, couldn't you?
It's a model helicopter. Listen, you know what? I've had the most horrendous week. Personally, that I've ever had in my, how old am I? 42
years.
Oh, share,
years. Rachel, share with and, us. Tell us.
And really help. Awful, yet I still managed to, quote unquote, produce a show, and I'd like to get on with it if you don't mind.
Oh, I was going to tell you a quick boy story.
Go on then, tell a quick boy story.
Well, I was genuinely struggling. To teach myself how, because flying model helicopters is apparently very, very difficult. Don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, did I say you didn't have a helicopter?
Never tried before. So Tuesday night, I charged it all up, and it said about trimming it and doing all this stuff while it's on the floor with the engine on a bit. So I was doing all that, and then I hit the gas pedal a bit too much. It went flying up in the air inside the house, right? So I'm inside. Ooh. Yeah. To which Martina's...
Isn't that bad luck?
No,
that's umbrellas.
That's umbrellas. No, umbrellas. They're all right here open. They don't care in Slovakia. So anyway, Martina gives me that look, which Rachel probably gives to Rob now and again, which is the look of, you are a stupid child.
It's the thing I'm giving you right now.
Yes, I knew it was coming. So anyway, I've had this look, I've gone, oh my God, the helicopter's about to hit the ceiling. So I've let the gas off a bit. And where do you think it landed?
On her head.
In Martina's lap.
No, on the shirt, on the ironing board that she was currently ironing. Don't worry, boys, I hit the gas pedal again a bit quick, and it took off out of the way before she could hit it. So it was safe. It's safe.
I just have to say, I genuinely do have the same thing, but it's actually a shark, a flying shark, a remote-controlled shark that I can fly around my house.
Really?
Yeah, honest. Get them from the bum shop in Newport for $9.99 if you want one.
Good. I think this is the point that we should move on to Australia.
Yeah, let's get on, Rachel. Don't be so rude.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we'll get back in our plane again. And we're off down to Oz. And apparently, backpackers stabbed in a hostile attack.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there, Rachel?
It was seriously very nasty. A guy decided that he would use a glass as a weapon against a 25-year-old woman from Ireland and two 19-year-old German men. They were stabbed by this resident of this hostel. As yet, I am unsure as to what nationality he is. Mm. Not that it makes too much difference because,
obviously Aussie.
A felon's a felon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a really heroic bystander intervened and this guy fled. Mm. Now, nobody's died, which is great. They're all being treated in one of the best hospitals in Sydney. But local officers have found this particular gentleman and he's been taken into custody. He's been charged with 3 counts of wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm. And he was due to face court today in what would be a preliminary hearing. So it's a nasty, nasty incident. There's a lot, glass attacks are not that uncommon these days.
They're usually killed in other
venues.
Did you throw away your application for the Australian Tourist Board?
Yes, I did.
I thought you did.
I thought I did that ages ago when Ivan Milat was killing backpackers. But, you know,
yeah, whatever.
Come along if you want to. Just don't stay in a hostel. It's easy. Or don't go to Sydney.
On this story, really, we don't want to give the impression that this bloke is necessarily round the bend and wasn't provoked, because it does say that he was actually in an argument and a confrontation with 4 people. Mm. And it's quite wrong. Like you say, glass attacks are the worst things you can do, really, against another human being. Mm. But it sounds like he was under pressure. And it would just be interesting. It'd be interesting to see what the outcome of this is, because it's a horrific thing. Mm. But if he's facing 4 people, 2 women. Women are terrible, you know, Rachel. If you get
the worst,
God. Yeah.
When they get on it, they're pretty nasty. But it's interesting.
What do you mean when they get on it? They are all the time. You've only got to go.
They're never off it.
No.
What's interesting to me is that the woman in this scenario, she had took the cut to the face.
Oh gosh. That's not nice.
So,
well.
You know, the guys have taken, one was stabbed in the neck, which is obviously pretty ghastly.
Mm.
One was gashed in the arm, which, depending on where he was hit, isn't necessarily as serious. But a woman gashed in the face is a pretty nasty scar to walk away with.
It is, of course it is.
You just reminded me of a rather tragic story, actually, from back in the 70s. There was a guy. He was actually quite a nice guy who got into a fight in Scotland, and somebody actually put an axe on his arm, cut his arm and the veins and everything, and all his tendons were gone. And at that point, just before they became famous, he was a guitarist for the Bay City Rollers.
Gosh.
That's the worst kind of luck.
And he cannot play a guitar anymore because every time he does now, it's like having an electric shock in his arm. So he had to quit.
With all the nerve damage.
That is just horrendous. Horrendous.
Quick one along those lines, because a bloke I know, he was in Whitesnake, the band Whitesnake. He dropped his plectrum on the floor, and I think it was the bass guitarist, one of the people on the stage with him, did that step back that rock stars do as they hit a high note, and crushed his hand, and he was saying he could never play again. But funnily enough, a few years ago, he had an electronic hand built and appeared live at a benefit concert.
Just
couldn't play one song with it.
That's good. Anyway, moving along, we've got prime ministers all over the world actually not talking to the media these days. Wonderful. And I mean literally all over the world. This whole thing about the illicit immigration via these guys, they're not even boats. I mean, to call them boats is a contradiction in terms. These are just things that are floating on the water. And I don't know how. But the immigration minister, Scott Morrison, has actually got round to responding about asylum seekers. And this boat that, I mean, I saw the images of this and it turned me. It did.
It's horrific. A gentleman, a Lebanese gentleman that was aboard this particular vessel, lost his pregnant wife and his 8 children. It really is. This is an ongoing problem that happens in Australia. And Tony Abbott, our new Prime Minister.
Let's go back a bit, Rach. Why is Australia so predominant with these asylum seekers? Why do they think everything's wonderful there?
I think, to be honest with you, I saw a picture of a billboard that was posted in, and I can't remember the name of the town, it was somewhere near Java, and there was some unrest there. There had been some looting in this particular town. It was in shreds, but there were several billboards, and there was a picture of a map of Australia and a picture of a really shonky-looking boat. So they're encouraged to go by people smugglers, basically. And what they're doing is they're sending these people on unseaworthy craft, which, of course, these people don't know when they get on it. Mm-hmm. They've given them their life savings, these guys, and they come here because the distance between, let's say, Java and Indonesia, where this boat actually came from and ended up, the people on that boat, a lot of them ended up on the shore there on the beach. Mm. They come from there because the distance from there to, say, Darwin, where I am, is very, very short.
Oh, right.
Yet the seas are really treacherous. So one little knock and an unseaworthy vessel is going to sink. This has been an ongoing problem for years and years and years. Tony Abbott, when he campaigned to be our new prime minister, said he was campaigning almost in haikus. It was very strange. And he had all these sort of three-word slogans, and he said, turn the boats around, turn the boats around. Well, it's all very well to turn them around, but you can't even get them anywhere near here. And if you do get them near here, they end up in a detention centre. They end up either in Nauru or on Christmas Island, because all the detention centres that they originally built here on the mainland in Australia
They're all full up, aren't they? Yeah.
Right. So you get processed as you can. Our ex-Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, his solution was send everybody to Papua New Guinea, or send the message out that if you take off in a boat and head for us, you won't be settled here.
Yeah, but they're not getting to the crux of the problem, because the crux of the problem is the people traffickers in the first place. And there's a simple solution. Do a deal with Java, get them all arrested, and then stick them on one of their own boats and let it go.
Exactly right. And say, now, let's see how you go, because you won't fare as well as Tom Hanks did in Castaway.
No.
You will not. And the thing is, that the thing that inflamed people here in Australia about this particular story was the fact that Tony Abbott refused to address the media on this issue, even though he'd been very vocal about it in his campaign. He's been Prime Minister for about 2.5 minutes.
Mm.
He was at a sporting function. He was addressing a sporting function that morning, and then he ducked off to Indonesia, of all places, where there was a banquet in his honour held that night while this was all going on.
Really?
So it's all got very strange. He's had to stay there. He's now going to miss APEC.
Right.
And President Obama is not going to be there anyway, because he's got bigger problems. But he's going to miss a huge, crucial set of meetings that he should be at, because of this big balls up with what's going on with these boat people.
Sounds like a doggy's got better.
Yes, he's happy. He's just saying, why am I locked out of the studio? Why am I locked out of the studio? That's all right.
But I tell you what, this virus of PMs not talking is is going round the world, Rach.
Yeah.
It's a virus. Yes. It's a virus.
You see, you've got to look at it this way. Just look at what Ed Miliband's done.
No, I wasn't going there yet. I was going to do that in a minute. But the British Prime Minister, British Prime Minister said this week, he would go on to a national debate before the next general election, providing the only people that could join him on the stage were those that had the potential to be Prime Minister, meaning he wasn't going to stand up there with parties like UKIP. Well, you know, that seems a bit odd to me. Why not face them? You know, but they won't. They won't.
No, they won't.
No, they won't at all. Anyway, this intrigues me a little bit because, you see, I've got to explain this. The Grampians, to me, is a place in Scotland.
That's right.
Of course, yeah.
Yes, that's a place in Scotland. And you found some endangered tigers.
Yes, the tiger quoll, the endangered tiger quoll.
What's the quoll bit? What's he look like?
Well, the quoll is, he looks like, he looks like a... like a very long, thin cat with spots. They grow to about a metre long. Right. And no, they haven't sighted one in the Grampians, which is in
Hang on, he should be called a leopard.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
But he
why is he a tiger?
Why isn't he a leopard, Rach?
He's
because
got
he's,
spots.
Because he is a relation of the Tasmanian tiger.
Oh, right, that explains it.
So, Rach, I'm just...
They're from the same species.
Just to point this out for you, this week you're the producer, so Lee and I can gang up on you like you and Lee normally gang up on me.
We don't gang up on it, do we?
And I can say, quite happily to you,
right.
Be quiet, I'm trying to explain it.
of course you can, Rach.
This is exciting stuff first time they've spotted one in 140 years. And the only reason why they did, because they were filming a part of the Grampians where they were trying to monitor wallabies in a really very remote area that can only be accessed by camera. So they set up this remote camera and all of a sudden, a pop-up on the camera, the quoll. It hasn't been spotted in the region since 1872.
Didn't you see the cameraman with the spray paint?
Yeah, he sprayed a tiger.
So cynical.
What do you mean, very cynical?
So cynical. It's cynical because it is very. Look, the rangers who don't get excited about much are really excited about this. The Grampians is a very, very cold, miserable place.
Right.
And now they've discovered this wonderful, and they knew they were there, but they haven't been able to spot one.
All right.
There's been evidence of them being there. And it's great. 140 years, for the first time they've been spotted. It's brilliant. And so now they're going to make sure he's safe and well.
Nice one.
Hang
on a minute. To ensure that you're safe and well listening to RTI, because it's the end of part one already, boys and girls, don't forget, go to the website. You can access both sites on Windows 8 for your mobile phone and for your tablet and PC. Get your app on there. You can listen where you like, walking down the road. And if you've got a smart car like mine, you can even hook your phone up and drive down the road listening to us. Scary thought.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.